أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We seek the protection of God from Shaytan, who has been expelled from God's kingdom of special mercy. Shaytan the arrogant, Shaytan the defiant, and therefore disqualified. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We seek help and guidance from God because we believe He is Allah, the All Perfect One. Because we believe He is Rahman, His mercy is universal. And we believe He is Rahim, His mercy is endless. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. We send our salutations and greetings on the Holy Prophet and on his holy progeny, who are the best guides for mankind till the end of time. Elders, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. There was a suggestion by students from the madrasa that they would like to have a short commentary on the dua of Kumail. Ideally, it would have been appropriate to have this discussion on the Wednesday preceding the Thursday, but unfortunately, the students have a madrasa class on that day. So instead of having a private class, we thought it would be more beneficial to have a general public presentation. As an introduction, I would like to remind ourselves about the status of Kumail. The reason being, the type of dua that is reported to us depends on the transmitter. Who is the one who has transmitted the dua? You see, there are two types of dua. One dua is for general public use. The Imam alayhi salam himself mentions it even without being asked. But there's a second type of dua which is only for specific occasions or for specific people. Dua Kumail happens to be of the second type, where Imam alayhi salam himself did not volunteer. Kumail goes and asks for it. So who is this Kumail and what is he asking? Is it something like you go to a doctor and you just ask for basic advice? I want medication, I have this particular problem. He just gives you the medication and you go away. Or he says, no, I want to be an apprentice, I want to be with you and you teach me some of the basics of medicine. Or no, I want you to train me for full 5 years, I want to get some of the expertise that you have. The type of patient who goes to the doctor will determine the type of expertise or medication the doctor would provide. Likewise, the spiritual medication. It depends who is the patient who comes to ask for what. So before we can appreciate the significance of this dua, let's look at a little background of this man. Who is this Kumail? Son of Ziyad from the tribe of Nakha'. So he's known as Kumail bin Ziyad Nakha'i from the tribes of Yemen. He was not a Sahaba. He was born after the demise of the Holy Prophet. So he's known as a Tabi'een. He belongs to the second generation who didn't see the Prophet but who saw those who did see the Prophet. But his special status is that he was not an ordinary companion of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He was one of the elite close companions of Imam alayhi salam. Point number one, very important, because then we recognize when he comes to ask the Imam, how does the Imam respond to him. Point number two in his background, he was not an ordinary companion. He was a devout, obedient, submissive to God companion, religious, pious person. So already the basics of ibadah, which everyone does, he was already doing that. In fact, he was more than others. And then when he goes to ask, therefore he asks for something higher. Three. Militarily, he was a brave man. There were situations where they saw certain corruption in the ummah. They went and protested against this corruption to the Khalifa. The Khalifa then exiles this group of the elite companions of Imam Ali alayhi salam, including Malik bin Ashtar al-Nakha'i and Zayd bin Sawhan and Sa'sa'a bin Sawhan. The same Sa'sa'a was so close to Imam Ali, on the deathbed he comes and visits him. This elite group were so brave that when they saw corruption in society, it's not they went to the mosque and just made dua. No. They were close to God. They also wanted society to develop and to improve, and they fought against evil. If necessary, they were sent to exile, and they accepted that. And after the revolution that takes place, and Imam Ali alayhi salam, by popular vote, if you can call it so, he is brought to power. One of the first people who extends his hand to make bay'ah to Imam is Kumail bin Ziyad. So you could count him as a person who is not only spiritually advanced, he is socially aware. No, he is politically also quite active. He knows what's happening in society, he knows what political action take place. When you get the right political leader, he's the first one to go in and declare his allegiance and obedience to him. And when necessary, he fights with Imam Ali alayhi salam. He fought with him in the Battle of Siffin. And Imam alayhi salam trusted him, therefore. And he appoints him as a special governor in a place known as Heath. Heath is in the current area which is known as Ambar in Iraq. Somewhere near there is the location of Heath. Unfortunately, Kumail happened to make a certain mistake, and the only reference we have of Kumail in the Nahjul Balagha is letter number 61, where Imam alayhi salam writes to him and reprimands him. Why did you leave your position? Apparently, Kumail receives information that there is some problem being created by wrongdoers in Qarqisiya, and he gathers an army from Heath and proceeds. And he leaves Heath abandoned. In his absence, and in the absence of the defensive forces, what happens is one of the armies of Muawiyah, they cross Heath and they go to another area where they create a massacre. And Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he learns of this, he writes to Kumail, "Kumail, I appointed you as a governor over Heath. Why did you abandon your position and go elsewhere? And because of your absence, this other army could pass your territory unstopped, and they went and created that massacre in that other place." Kumail regrets this, and later on he compensates for it and he wins back the approval of Imam Ali alayhi salam. In short, the man was extraordinary in all fields, not only spiritual but also social, also political, also military. And he lives for quite long. Imam Ali alayhi salam is martyred in the 40th year of Hijrah. Kumail is killed in the 80th or 82nd or 83rd year of Hijrah. He lives for 40 years after Imam. During the Imamah of Imam Hassan alayhi salam and Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he's alive. Unfortunately, we have no record of him in Karbala. History is silent on this. Given his background, one, and given the fact that Imam Ali alayhi salam considers him as an elite companion, two, and he makes a prediction about his future, three, whereby you shall be killed by Hajjaj bin Yusuf Thaqafi. It seems not only his past was illustrious, but even his future was good. And therefore this blank in between that we have, his absence in Karbala, there must have been a good reason, but history has not reported to us. We have, for example, very good companions who never came to Karbala. Abdullah bin Ja'far, the husband of the holy lady Zainab. There must have been a strong reason why he didn't come. Most probably he was handicapped. Jabir bin Abdullah Ansari, he comes on Arba'een to Karbala. Why didn't he come to Karbala on Ashura? He was handicapped, he was blind. So if we have companions whose past record is clear, illustrious, and then we find suddenly in strategic points they're absent, and history is silent, there must be a reason for that. Either history reports to us, or we must figure out some acceptable excuse for their absence. Next slide, please. Given the background, now look at this man coming to Imam alayhi salam. Sheikh Tusi reports this dua, and Sayyid Ibn Tawus also reports this dua. Kumail comes to Imam alayhi salam and at night time. The dua is to be recited at night time. You notice towards the end, I ask you, fi hadhihi al-layla wa fi hadhihi al-sa'a, kulla jurmin ajramtu. I want all my sins to be forgiven on this night. So it's a dua to be recited at night time. Kumail comes at night time to Imam Ali alayhi salam. What brings you here? He says, no, I want you to teach me the dua of Khidr. Khidr is not an ordinary prophet, an extraordinary prophet again. Given specific tasks, not ordinary tasks. Tasks to be performed more with, more to be concerned with the unseen world. So he wants a powerful dua. He's not an ordinary man. He's already spiritually advanced. He wants something higher. So Imam alayhi salam says, he dictates to Kumail this dua. He says, if you recite this dua once every week or once every month or once every year, or no, once in a lifetime, Allahu Akbar, this dua is so powerful, recited once in a lifetime, Imam alayhi salam tells him, you shall be protected from your enemies, and you shall be provided with extra sustenance, and you shall be pardoned from your sins. It's an amazing dua, not an ordinary dua. Kumail, you're not an ordinary person, you're a close companion. Late at night, I would not have entertained. This is my private moment. Everybody has a haq, my family has a haq on me. And I have to spend time with my Lord. Perhaps you should come tomorrow. He doesn't send him away. You're a close companion. Come sit and write. Imam recites the whole dua. Kumail writes it down from the beginning. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatika allati wasi'at kulla shay till the end. And that's the record that we have received. So, conclusion. The point I want us to realize in the beginning is the dua is not an ordinary dua, because the person who asks for it is not an ordinary person. Two, the content of the dua also indicates A, that it is supposed to be recited on a special night, Sha'ban, mid of Sha'ban, which is the next best night after Laylatul Qadr. It's not an ordinary dua, therefore. Three, but after Laylatul Qadr and the mid of Sha'ban, there are other nights which do have a high level of blessings, and one of them is the Shab-e Jumu'ah, the eve of Friday, and therefore also recommended to be recited on this night. Three. Four, consider the fact that Kumail, according to another tradition, Kumail says, I heard Imam alayhi salam recites this dua in sajda. Sajda is not an ordinary position that we have in our ibadat. One of the closest positions you can achieve to God is in the state of sajda. أقرب ما يكون العبد إلى الله فهو ساجد. The nearest you can experience closeness to God is in the state of sajda. Basically, you have bodily, physically adopted a posture whereby you have cut off everything away from the rest of the world, and you're concentrating, it's you, and in the lowest position possible for this earth to allow you to express your lowliness. And therefore, the experience of the highness of His Majesty, and therefore the closeness that you experience. And furthermore, number two, sajda is the closest. And you want to get closer than closest? You cry. And the dua has statements where Imam alayhi salam says, I will cry if you send me to the fire of hell. And I'll declare to all of them that in my whole life I spent it in believing in you, in tawheed, and in love of you. I may have made some mistakes. Are you going to punish me for those mistakes? I'm going to cry out aloud. These words are spoken not just superficially. Imam must have been crying himself in sajda when he spoke these words. For these four or five reasons, we should mentally tune ourselves before we begin this dua, that is not an ordinary dua. Next slide, please. I would like to quickly present in this first session a brief outline of what are the major themes that are covered in this dua, and then we'll go into the details in the next session. Again, this breakdown of the dua into six main paragraphs is my approach. You can study the dua and perhaps you can divide it into other paragraphs. But for me, I find this quite a logical flow in the dua Observe how the Imam starts. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatika allati wasi'at kulla shay. He mentions about six names of God. But those six names of God can be summarized in three main major names. O Lord, you know my problem because you know everything. One. O Lord, you have power over me to solve my problem. Three. Lord, you are merciful and loving enough to want to solve my problem. Ya Nuru Ya Quddus, therefore I've come to you. Observe. You are basically the king, the powerful one. I ask bi quwwatika allati qaharta biha ala kulli shay, bi izzatik, bi jabarutik, bi sultanik, bi azamatik. All reflecting power, the kingdom. He's the king. He's got power over everything. Where else do I go? Two, not only is the king, he knows my problem. He's not negligent. He is not heedless of my problem. وَبِعِلْمِكَ الَّذِي أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَبِنُورِ وَجْهِكَ الَّذِي أَضَاءَ لَهُ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ وَبِأَسْمَائِكَ الَّذِي مَلَأَتْ أَرْكَانَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Your perfect essence encompasses everything. What is knowledge? Knowledge is when something is totally under the comprehension of some other entity. Because of your all-encompassing nature, you know everything. So A, you're the king, you're all powerful. B, you know my problem. C, I appeal to your mercy. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatika allati wat rahma wasi'at kulla shay. The most comprehensive, universal, all-encompassing mercy and love and grace that we find everywhere. I seek to get close to you by these three fundamental names, O Lord. Alright, so I want to get close to you. And do what? Oh Lord, before I get close to you, I've got problems. Allahumma ighfir li al-dhunub allati tahtiku al-isam wa tunzilu al-niqam wa tughayyiru al-ni'am wa tunzilu al-bala wa tahbisu al-du'a. I have got problems which the way you've created the universe, it's such that I deserve to be punished. I deserve to be put into trials and tribulations. I deserve my du'as to be blocked and rejected. I've got problems. I can't get close to you. But before I get close to you, I want you to forgive me all these sins. Five different types of sins. Inshallah, we'll discuss them. Three. So, you are my Lord, the King, the knower of everything, the kind one. Before I get close to you, I've got problems. Remove them. Now that the problems are removed, I make my request. You know what my request is? Three things I'm asking for. أَن تُوزِعَنِي شُكْرَكْ وَأَن تُلْهِمَنِي ذِكْرَكْ. Oh Lord, the highest gift I can ask from you is I want to be in the constant remembrance of you. I want to be constantly thankful towards you. وَأَن تُدْنِيَنِي مِنْ قُرْبِكْ. I want to get closer to you all the time. وَتَجْعَلَنِي بِقِسْمِكَ رَاضِيًا قَانِعًا. I don't want worldly pleasures. If you have decreed it for me and you want to give it to me, I'm content with whatever you have decreed for me. Some of the highest spiritual gifts. Notice Kumail is not asking, give me rizq and I'm in trouble and I'm in debt and my family is in problem. Straight away he jumps into spiritual gifts. Amazing. And that's the opening. Next slide. And then he expresses his utter desperation and he believes that God is the ultimate source of all mercy. How many times you have helped me? كم من فادح من البلاء أقلت كم من قبيح سترت. I've got big problems. Allahumma azma balai. I have divided the dua into six themes and inshallah we shall cover them a little more in detail. Allow me to stop in this period of time. Let's pray to Allah to get the tawfiq to be able to engage. We have normal du'as we recite every day, but there are certain unique, extraordinary du'as that can take us to higher levels. Allah give us the tawfiq to be able to appreciate the content and the depth of these du'as, and then to feel them, and then to express it honestly and genuinely. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.